evening and welcome to Midwest Beat, a program all about music and the people who make it. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. Every year in the spring, County Line Orchard in Hobart, Indiana becomes Beatles Central. Fans of John, Paul, George, and Ringo gather together to celebrate the wealth of fab music that the lads left behind. And they do it for community charity. In the studio with us tonight, I've got two of the principal players who have been there for all 8 years. We'll be talking to them about everything Beatles and tell you all about this great show, Beatles in the Barn, coming up Saturday, April 9th, right after your headlines here.
Support for programming on Lakeshore Public Radio comes from NIPSCO. Smart digging means calling 811 before each job. This ensures that all underground utility lines are marked to avoid property damage, injury, and possible fines. More information at NIPSCO.com/811.
Good evening. Welcome to Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges. This program is about music and the people who make it. And as I mentioned on the other side of your headlines, every year in spring, County Line Orchard in Hobart, Indiana turns into Beatles Central. Fans of John, Paul, George, and Ringo gather together. We celebrate the wealth of Beatles music that has been left behind by the lads. And this annual family tradition is called Beatles in the Barn, and it's in its eighth year. This year's event takes place this Saturday, April 9th. Performances, once again, by the Chris and Lou Band, the Craw Puppies, and the Mega Beatles. We'll find out what the Mega Beatles are all about in just a minute. We've got two of them here. Chad Clifford is with us and Mike Curtis. They've been a part of this event for the last 8 years, and the event every year benefits charities in the community. This year, once again, the Northwest Indiana Food Bank will benefit, as well as the Hobart K-9 Police Unit. But right now, we're going to take you back 1964, February 9th, I was 6 years old, and I remember seeing a bunch of mop top guys come on the Ed Sullivan Show, and this was the first song they played.
Close your eyes, and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. Remember, I'll always be true. And then while I'm away, I'll pretend that I'm kissing the lips I am missing, and hope that my dreams will come true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day, and I'll send all my loving to you. All my loving I will send to you. Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. Remember, I'll always be true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day, and I'll send all my loving to you. All my loving I will send to you.
I remember that song coming through that little tiny black and white screen. It was a big screen back then. I think it was like 16 inches. And it was one of those console TVs with one speaker that rattled because I think I had kicked a toy into it or something. But that was what started it for me and so many others in America. The Beatles came, they conquered, and we are still talking about them and playing their music, and their music is still making a difference, not only influencing musicians, but also affecting lives in a very real sense, such as the event happening this Saturday, April 9th at County Line Orchard in Hobart. We are going to be playing lots of Beatles music, and it's all to help the Northwest Indiana Food Bank put food on the table of families in the area. So this is an event that helps our neighbors. It's also helping this year the Hobart Police K-9 Unit. And we've got in the studio with us a couple of rock and roll dogs, speaking of K-9s. We've got Chad Clifford and Mike Curtis, both members, longtime members of the Craw Puppies and also members of the Mega Beatles. And we'll explain what that's about in just a bit. But Chad and Mike, welcome to the show, first of all.
Thanks, Tom. Nice to see you.
Now, you guys have been part of this for 8 years, and I remember Tom Collins telling me the story. Tom Collins Sr. is the guy that kind of hatched this idea while watching Chris and Lou, mutual friends of all of ours, at the Old Town Inn in Valpo, and saying, wow, they really did some good Beatles music. We should do something. And, of course, you guys are the other band that plays Beatles really well and are known for that. So it kind of was a meshing, a mashup of the two bands. So you were there in the beginning. How did this all come together? I understand it was supposed to be a one-time thing.
Well, Lou and I, Lou Samaniego and I, have always kind of had this musical ground of the Beatles, and we'd done a couple shows together where we had done kind of really dug into the harmonies. And so when Tom wanted to do this, we just saw this as an opportunity to really kind of do something we'd always wanted to do but never had the time or the urge probably to do. And so, mm-hmm. So when this show came up, it gave us kind of a deadline and gave us a goal to kind of set for. And it's grown a bit, and we've brought on some other players. And, you know, the nice thing about it is as it keeps going, it gets better every year. Mm-hmm. You know, so we get more.
Well, the turnout's incredible. I think every year's like a sellout now.
Yeah, every year has been selling out for the last several. I think are real close. I mean, it's a big barn. You can fit a lot of people
in
there.
It is.
But I think – for us, just musically, it keeps getting better. You know, like the song says, it's wild how you can listen to a song that you've even heard hundreds of times and still find little intricacies in it. You know, so
now it starts out with the early Beatles, and the Chris and Lou band play most of that.
Yeah,
early
Chris
stuff.
And Lou do mostly the early stuff. Well, see, because the Mega Beatles is about a 2 hour. Show. Our set is about 2 hours long.
So Mega Beatles alone is 2 hours.
Yeah, that's 2 hours
wow.
long.
Yeah.
So what we've done, because that focuses mainly, because there's at times nine of us up there.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really need nine people to do the early Beatles stuff. So it's kind of overkill. So, you know, and there's members that kind of float in and out. Not everyone stays up there the whole time. But some of the more in-depth songs require, you know, that many people because someone's doing percussion or just mm-hmm. different things. There's a time when there's two piano players and two guitar players, you know. So we focus the early set, the Chris and Lou and the Craw Puppies set, just so it's balanced out because there's people that really like the early Beatles and are,
right.
don't like so much. My dad used to say, I don't like the newer Beatles as much as the older Beatles. And it makes me laugh because what are you talking about? 63 to 65 and then 66 to 69, you know. So it's funny. But there are people that, you know, so we focus mainly on the earlier stuff. And Chris and Lou do a lot of those, you know, harmony songs. Mm-hmm. And then we'll get up there and we'll probably do some early stuff, but also some like 65, 66 kind of songs as well.
And you both do stuff from Rubber Soul and Revolver, don't you? Both Chris and Lou.
And Mega Beatles will be doing a lot of stuff off Rubber Soul and Revolver because that's really when the music started getting a little bit deeper. You mm-hmm. know, they weren't afraid to bring in other musicians at that point and doing other things aside from the four guys because that's when they really started focusing on the studio where you didn't have to be able to recreate it live, mm-hmm. you know. So we do a lot of the stuff that they never played live as the Beatles.
In past years, the Mega Beatles set would be focused on certain themes or certain – you do an mm-hmm. album side or you do whatever. This year being the year we lost Sir George Martin, are you doing anything to pay tribute to him?
You know, I hadn't really thought of it, but this set will be very, very heavily influenced on the Sgt. Pepper and Magical Mystery Tour albums, which there's another reason for that. But the primary reason is that we got asked to do a big show in Louisville. At this big festival called Abbey Road on the River, not to take away from Beatles at the Barn. But that's
talking the whole Mega Beatles group?
The whole Mega Beatles group is going down there. And there's about 60 Beatle bands from all over the world. You know, there's guys from Japan and Brazil. And they asked us to come down because they'd seen some video of us doing Abbey Road, or they saw some video of us doing Sgt. Pepper and Magical Mystery Tour. So they asked us to kind of cover those albums. Mm-hmm. And since there's the best Beatle bands in the world, you know, at this thing, we thought we better really, really fine-tune these songs at Beatles at the Barn. So there'll be a strong focus on those two albums, both Sgt. Pepper and Magical Mystery Tour. That's on Memorial Day weekend, so the last weekend of May there. And, it's really a cool – I went last year. It was on my bucket list, you know, and I went last year with just my acoustic, and they got me a little stage in this gallery. And the best part was that I stayed up until literally 5 a.m. just playing Beatles songs with people, you know, in the hotel lobby. And we were just, you know, and I sat down at about 10 and just started playing music with strangers, and we all kind of bonded, you know, all got to know each other. And, you know, the neat thing about Facebook is we're all friends on Facebook now, but all these strangers, you know, we just had this great night together. And I thought, well, I'm getting a little tired. I look at my watch and it's 5 a.m, you know, and I'm standing up to go. So, but that's a really cool event. And so we're making sure that the songs we're doing, not all of them, but most of the song, a lot of the songs will be from those two albums.
All right. Michael, who's your favorite Beatle?
Who's my favorite Beatle? Probably John.
Okay.
Jimmy Page, isn't he?
Wasn't Page in the Beatles?
Don't tell him Jimmy Page was in the Beatles.
I would say John just because he's more raw. He's more... John and Paul. But
plus, you got John Lennon's nose.
Yeah, right.
I would kill for that nose.
The Beatles impacted so much in such a short time. As songwriters yourselves, with the Craw Puppies, to touch on your original stuff for just a second, the volume of albums they put out in, 10 years? How did they do that? I mean, you guys know what it's like to write songs. And they're all so good. Even the B-sides were good. The deep cuts were good.
I think they worked them very hard. You know, there was a high expectations for them. You know, they didn't let it be. They didn't let them kind of rest. You know, they made them. I think the Beatles probably, had they not been driven to work so hard, would have probably been much more lackadaisical. But they knew to strike when the iron was hot. They didn't know how long it was going to last, so they exploited it as much as they could. You know, they did 2 albums a year, 3 or 4 singles a year, and sometimes a movie and a tour. You know, now a band puts out an album and they go on it for 2 or 3 years. You know, it's only the last couple albums, but when you look at the first year, Please Please Me and With the Beatles were 63. You know, Hard Day's Night and Beatles for Sale were 64. Help and Rubber Soul were 65. Then they finally got a break of making one album a year.
Right.
You know, but the amount of stuff that they were, you know, putting out, and they were a good live band before, so they learned to work together in the studio, I think. You know.
You guys have guitars on. You want to play something?
Sure.
All right.
Play something.
Let's give a little sample of what we might be hearing at Beatles at the Barn again.
We'll play a George song.
A George song, my favorite Beatle.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of George this time around.
All right.
So. Are you all plugged in?
I think so.
I look at you all, see the love there that's sleeping, while my guitar gently weeps. I look at the floor and I see it needs sweeping, still my guitar gently weeps. I don't know how, nobody told you how to unfold your love. I don't know how someone controlled you, they bought and sold you.
I look at the world and I notice it's turning. Still my guitar gently weeps for every mistake we must surely be learning. Still my guitar gently weeps.
Little taste of the Beatles.
Thank you.
You're listening to Midwest Beat.
Yeah.
I'm Tom Lounges. That is Chad Clifford and Mike Curtis. They are members of the Craw Puppies. They are also part of the Mega Beatles. You'll be seeing both bands this Saturday, April 9th, at the County Line Orchard in Hobart for Beatles in the Barn. And
That was
tasty.
Wasn't that? Oh, my gosh. It sounded like the actual George Harrison singing and that guitar, the work.
That guitar sounded very sweet.
Yeah. Well, what we try to do.
Thank you.
Thanks. You know, like if it was a Craw Puppy show, I probably wouldn't sing it like that. But when I do these Beatle things like that, it's really fun for me to try to be like Rich Little, you know what I mean? And try it. And the more people I meet, you know, there's some great people that do George like professionally on Broadway or tour the country as George Harrison impersonators, and you watch them, and really the key is just kind of selling the inflections of the voice and studying it, because it's exciting and challenging, you know, to do. So I appreciate that you noticed
that. Is George your go-to Beatle then?
No, John tends to be my go-to Beatle. Yeah, but
I have George down pretty well.
Yeah, I'm kind of, you know, that's why I couldn't be really good in a Beatle band, because I keep switching who my favorite one is. But thank you.
Where'd Chad go? Oh, he's over there now.
And I'm lucky in the Mega Beatles, I sing mainly the John ones, but I do a couple George too. And there's a Paul song or two that Lou can't play bass and sing at the same time, so I get to do those as well.
Oh, wow. You get to play all of them.
Yeah, I get to do all of them.
Who gets to sing the Ringo songs?
Tom Collins is singing one.
Okay.
And then Chris Curtis is actually, he does a really good Ringo. He's doing Photograph by Ringo this year. So
you're doing some of the solo stuff,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we're throwing in a couple solo tunes this year.
Great. Harrison was my first concert. I saw him at the Chicago Stadium, and the only time he toured without the Beatles. And Clapton was supposed to be on there, but that was when that whole Patty Boyd Harrison thing was going on. And
right.
Tom Scott and the L Express, Billy Preston, they were all there. And I was in eighth grade, and what a concert to start your career with.
Right. Oh, I bet.
You know, tasty. Mm-hmm. So that's why George, I think, is still one of my favorites. So we were talking about the songs. Not only did they write a lot and release a lot of albums, they were one of the first bands to actually start writing their own material and being involved in the production. Mm-hmm. You go back to the Stones, for instance. They were all covering blues songs until McCartney and Lennon wrote Wanna Be Your Man for them.
Right.
Lennon and McCartney, of course, the first couple albums, they had some covers on there, but they still were writing.
Well, you know, the story behind that is they were very into playing live, but every time the Beatles would do a song, some other band would start doing it. So they'd go to their gigs, and there'd be four or five bands on the bill, and they'd be up there doing Long Tall Sally and, you know, rock and roll music. So the Beatles said, well, if they're just going to keep pinching our tunes, let's just start writing our own. So then they could stick themselves out. That's, and then they got good at it, you know, for sure.
Now, they were very influenced by Buddy Holly.
Yes.
Hence the name The Beatles versus the Crickets. Buddy, again, in America, was the first rock and roller to write and produce and have his own record label and all that. He was the king of indie rock back then. Do you think if Buddy Holly hadn't done that, that we would have seen that confidence in The Beatles?
Yeah, it's hard to know. I mean, you know, you become iconic when you die like that, you know. And the death of Buddy Holly was huge on both Lennon and McCartney because I think that it's hard to know. You know, it's easy to be romanticized, the whole James Dean factor.
Right.
Even the John Lennon factor. You know, John Lennon got to die at the young age of 40. He didn't get to do some of the silly things, you know, McCartney and Ringo did. So, you know, you get stuck in that kind of, you know, is it more romantic to be the young, good-looking one that dies or the guy that's still up there playing music at 70 years old and still loving it, you know?
Right. I am shocked at how much Paul McCartney is touring.
He loves to work.
And the long shows, and he doesn't even drink water on stage.
No. Have you seen any of the recent shows?
Not recently. I got to meet him about 20 years ago.
Yeah,
he did a couple of tours. Linda was still living when I met him. And he was awesome then. I can't imagine him.
Yeah,
still
I've seen
doing
him. I've seen him 10 times. He's my record. You know, I've seen McCartney 10 times, and every time I leave with tears in my eyes, thinking that could be the last time. Mm-hmm. But as long as he's willing to do it, I'm willing to keep going.
Well, my friend Bill Hayden is the same way. I think he's seen McCartney like a zillion times.
Yeah.
Every time he comes through, he'll drive to Milwaukee or Ohio.
Just feel like you have to. You know,
I saw him in
Nashville last time. I'm glad I made the trip, but it was, it is. I mean, it's such a, you know, you see him and he loves doing it. And, you know, I hate to even talk about it, but when he's gone and Mick and Keith and Roger and Pete are gone, it's you're just kind of, what's left? What's left?
I mean, Ray
there's
Davies.
There's some greats left, but they're not, you know, maybe Elton. But, I mean, they're not like, not like they don't get under your skin. You know, it's just the McCartney thing. As long as he's willing to do it, like, you know. Mm-hmm. But he still loves it, and you can see that in him when he's up there. You can just see that this guy, he doesn't have to do it, obviously.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And he's still, and this band is amazing. He's been in that band longer than Wings and the Beatles combined. And they, you know, they play the songs with the right amount of respect for the original, and they play them with, you know, they still look excited, like, yeah, I'm playing with Paul McCartney. You know,
right.
They still got that look on their face. You know,
do you think we'll see Beatles in the Barn at any point in the coming years? Because obviously we've been regurgitating a lot of the Beatles songs over the years to do like a wing set.
Well, we talked about it. You know, we might have done more of that this year had we not had this other big thing kind of coming on. There'll be a couple wing songs, I'm sure. But it's hard because that's the hardest part about doing this. And I get to kind of help Lou and I kind of pick out the set list a bit. And we take input from everybody. But the hardest part is there's some you just got to do, you know.
Right.
We didn't do Let It Be last year, and it was quite controversial. Wow. You know, we did The Long and Winding Road.
And
I
appreciated that because that's one of my favorites. I'm not a big fan of Hey Jude. You know, the rest of the world loves it.
Yeah, and that's just like one of those ones. You know, you got to do Get Back. You got to do Hey Jude. So it is hard. The hardest part is the fun ones that you get to do, you know, that you pick out. Because, you know, everyone approaches it from different levels of Beatle fandom. You know, some of them are going to, you know, if you get too off the deep end, like Lou and I tend to do.
Like Old Brown Shoe.
Yeah,
no one's
going to
know that.
And we'd love to do that one. But we got another George one. There's a guy that keeps asking for Old Brown Shoe. One of these days. But we got, you know, but it is hard because you don't want to isolate the crowd. You want to keep the people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the tricky part is keeping it at 2 hours because there's so many great songs. And we also, every time, this will actually be the 10th Mega Beatles show together. So it's getting to be kind of like a band, you know, sounding like.
Yeah, it started out as a fundraiser, and now it spun off. You did Memorial Opera House. Now you're going out of state.
Yeah, and we did the Hammond Beatle Fest last year, which was really good for us.
The one downtown?
Yeah, the one downtown. Okay. And so it's grown a little bit from that. And every time we've done it, we've added two or three new songs. So that means you have to kind of take away two or three songs, you know, which is the hard part.
Speaking of songs, you brought some of your favorite Beatle albums. Let's play something from the original guys and play something. What should we play?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, you pick something.
Okay.
This is your show.
This is my show. Well, watch out. Well, we did a George song. Let's get a little bit, let me find something
here.
How
about Girl?
Yeah, let's do
Girl's
Girl.
A good
That's
song.
A good song.
Once again, I want to remind you that if you love the Beatles, you need to be with us. We're all going to be there Saturday, April 9th, and it's going to be at the County Line Orchard, 200 South County Line Road in Hobart, Indiana. It's that big red barn. It's all wooden inside, no metal beams and things. It's warm. It's acoustic, despite being so cavernous. It is really a good place to see a show.
It sounds amazing.
It does.
It's the new Cavernous Club.
It's the Cavernous Club. There you go. All right. We're going to play some Beatles, and we'll be back with Chad and Mike.
Is there anybody going to listen to my story all about the girl who came to stay? She's the kind of girl you want so much it makes you sorry. Still, you don't regret a single day. Girl, when I think of all the times I've tried so hard to leave her, she will turn to me and start to cry. And she promises the earth to me, and I believe her. After all this time, I don't know why. Girl, she's the kind of girl who puts you down when friends are there, you feel a fool. When you say she's looking good, she acts as if it's understood she's cool. She was young, that pain would lead to pleasure. Did she understand it when they said that a man must break his back to earn his day of leisure? Will she still believe it when he's dead? Oh, girl.
That's Girl. Wow, man.
And then there's some other background lyrics going on there as well.
Girl. That's classic Beatles, picked by our guest tonight, Mike Curtis. Good stuff. Again, Beatles in the Barn, Saturday, April 9th. Performances by the Chris and Lou Band. The full band. Chris and Lou go out and do a lot of acoustic shows as well, but this will be the full Chris and Lou Band. The Crawpuppies, everybody knows them that lives in Northwest Indiana. And of course, the Mega Beatles is a combination of the two, the Chris and Lou Band, the Crawpuppies. You mentioned Chris from History's End. Who else is in the Mega Beatles?
That's it, I think. Marty plays with Chris and Lou, so he kind of can count as their guitar player.
Okay.
But yeah, it's mainly us with Chris Curtis. So, yeah. Who just had a baby. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Uncle Bushko.
Uncle Bushko,
Uncle Bushko's probably practicing for practice tonight, or he may call in. You never know.
Uncle Bushko is always someone who makes an appearance at Beatles in the Barn.
Yes,
so you'll have to
right.
come out to meet our favorite uncle.
That's right.
You can get details and tickets online, www.countylineorchard.com. And again, this event is not only just a lot of fun, and it's very family-friendly. Lots and lots of kids come out to it. One of the reasons that Tom Collins said he enjoys it so much is because we're passing on the Beatles to the next generations.
Exactly.
And you get kids. Your kids come.
Oh, yeah. My
kids
love it.
Are they Beatle fans?
Yeah, they're big Beatle fans. You know, and even my older kids that are, you know, they became cynical teenagers and 20-year-olds. they both are Beatle fans now. I'll catch them, you know, I'll sneak in, I'll listen to the door, and they'll be playing Beatle songs. Then when they see me, they immediately meddle out again. But, mm-hmm. you know, until when they don't think I'm listening, they're learning the Beatle chords and stuff. So it's funny how that works.
And again, it's family friendly. There's food there. There's guitars that are given away. Mm-hmm. Now, every year you guys do guitars, and one year was drums.
Yeah, one year was drums. I think this year it's just three. I think there's a bass and two guitars this year.
Is it a Hofner?
It is a Hofner bass, yeah. But I don't think it's left-handed, so.
Okay. We can string it backwards.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think many people would bid on it. Only you're limiting your number.
Beatles in a Barn has been going on. This is the eighth year, and it changes around a little bit here and there. And you mentioned how the Mega Beatles are becoming an entity of their own. Do you see the Mega Beatles? Well, you're going out of state, as you mentioned. Do you see them doing a tour and becoming one of those traveling Beatle bands that?
Yeah, it's hard to know because we don't do the dress-up thing. You know, I'd like to do it more because it's so much fun. Mm-hmm. You know, but there's a lot of guys. You know. We'll see. I mean, no one's saying no to anything.
They did a Beatles band at College of DuPage about 2 years ago. We had them on. Do you remember that? I can't remember the name of the group.
American English?
No. This was a traveling. They didn't do any dress-up. No costumes, no wigs, no anything. They played College of DuPage, and it was a fundraiser.
I do remember that show.
And we had the guy on. I can't think what they were called, but it reminded me of the Mega Beatles, and they did full albums in their entirety.
They didn't dress up, though?
It was like the classic rock
the Fab
something.
Faux?
No.
No, not those guys?
It was classic something. No. These guys weren't from Chicagoland.
Right.
They traveled all over the world, but it was classic something. And they would recreate classic Beatle records. Each tour, they did a different album. And,
yeah, I mean, I'm all for that. I think this playing down in Louisville will give us some exposure and give us some options for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I would never say anything against the dress-up bands because I really do respect them, and there's some amazing ones out there. It's just, you got to, at some point, if you don't really naturally look like them, it looks kind of silly.
Right.
You know, and if you can't really afford the real, real good wigs, it looks kind of silly.
We would have two Johns, two Johns.
Yes, but I love the playing of the music, so it's just, but I still like, I like it maybe more because I don't do it that much, you know. Mm-hmm. I think I would love to take a month and go do it, you know, to appreciative fans. But I don't know how exactly to break into that. Yeah, but maybe after this stint, you know, stint down to Louisville, we'll learn more about that.
Do you see the Mega Beatles as a way to? We were talking about introducing new generations to the music. Do you share tidbits of knowledge? You're very knowledgeable about the Beatles. We've talked many times, and like tonight, you know, you just told me that songwriting story. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Do you share that so that maybe people will understand some of the deeper cuts?
Yeah, I should, and I try to, and I've got an uncle that's a big fan of mine, and he's always like, you need to talk more about this, but I always feel kind of like there's some people like, oh, dude, we don't really care. Let's just hear the next song. So I've got to kind of balance that a little bit. I like doing it, but I also don't want it to be so much, you know. Mm-hmm.
A meet and greet afterwards with Chad.
That's right. Yeah. No, I mean, I try to. I try to throw in a couple little things, like, you know, last year when we did a Ringo song, I mentioned that he got inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And, you know, I try to find little things to keep entertaining. It's hard to find that balance, though. And it's also when you've got so many songs you want to play and it's getting late, you know, you kind of just you don't want to take too much time. But I should do a bit more of that.
Do you think Sergeant Pepper will show up again this year?
I've heard Sergeant Pepper's there. He's actually practiced a song with us again, so... Sergeant Pepper, you got to get him early on in the night, though. You don't want to get Sergeant.
No, a little later. It's more like W.C. Fields.
We love you, Kirk.
Beatles in the Barn, 8 years strong, again, Saturday, April 9th. If you've never seen Beatles in the Barn and you are a Beatles fan, you really owe it to yourself. And I've been fortunate to see almost all the performances. Tom's asked me to come along and MC again, and it's just so much fun. I can't underscore the fact that it's fun. You guys have fun. We have fun.
It has a great
energy. It is. Yeah. It's so unique. What's the best part of this? I mean, every year, obviously, you look forward to playing this. What's the best part of it for you, respectively, either of you?
I would say the crowd participation and how many people are there enjoying it. That feeling you get from the crowd makes you want to play it more, and it's a mutual feeling between the crowd and the band, and the energy you feed off of each other. They see we're having a good time, they're having a good time, and it just exponentially happens all night.
I think for me, a lot of it is just musicianship-wise. You know, you get into a band. The Crop Puppies have been going for 20 years now.
Wow.
So that's a long time to play with.
I remember you guys right out of high school.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a long time to have been playing music together.
Right.
And you know everybody. So you bring these other guys into the mix, and it's a different element. And what will happen is, we'll think we'll have a song down really good, and someone will really, really listen and say, well, no, actually, it's doing this. And they start taking it more serious. And then the next guy's like, well, if he's going to realize this, then I'm going to. So you keep getting more and more serious about it, and it just keeps sounding better and better, and it keeps getting more fun. But you don't ever lose that, it's still about just doing the best kind of tribute you can. And for me, it's about watching the videos and saying, oops, I slipped too much into Chad there. I didn't do John.
Right.
It's like being able to, the Beatles always talked about when they did Sgt. Pepper, the pressure of being a Beatle was off because they could be this fake band, and they got to do all this creative stuff. So for us, when we do Mega Beatles, it's like I don't have to worry about anybody saying, he's trying to sound too much like John Lennon. Well, no duh. That's kind of what the job is, So I can let all those things, like if a crop up, like there were times I'd write a song and I'd be like, oh, I can't do that, because it's too on the nose. But then I'd hear like the Red Walls or Oasis and say, well, what the heck didn't I do that for,
Exactly.
Or Enough's Enough, a lot of times Donnie V would, I'd be like, look, man, if you're going to do that, I'm not slowing down, but with the Mega Beatles, it's nice because I don't have to second guess it. It's like, no, you want it to be as close to that as you can do. It's fun.
Have you ever thought of slipping in one of those original Beatles-esque songs in the middle of a Mega Beatles, seeing if anyone even caught the fact that it was not a song? I think that would be fun.
That would be funny to do.
Just try and slip it in.
Maybe all of these times. That's funny.
You are a dyed-in-the-wool John Lennon fan. I know that Lou is hardcore McCartney. Mm-hmm. What about the rest of the guys? Mike, were you a big Beatles fan before all this, or did you kind of...
Actually, I was more or less introduced heavily into the Beatles by Lou, because I was in a band with Lou in the 90s. I've known Lou since 89, I think. So, I used to go to Lou's house, and he had discovered the Beatles, obviously, earlier, and then we would get together, and he would play some different tracks for me, and just musically, they grew on me because of Lou.
Okay.
But I was always into Zeppelin, so.
I know. You were more the rocker guy.
Yeah.
So the other guys, too, is it something through osmosis, or were they all in their own
Beatles
bands?
Well, I think when we put this Mega Beatles thing together, I would go see Lou, and Lou was the only guy I knew that could give, I don't want to sound egotistical here, but really got like the McCartney thing. I'm like, whoa, he's good.
Yeah, you know what
I
mean? Good.
There's a lot of times, because I'd go see these guys and be like, well, you could tell they're kind of a fair weather fan, and they found out there's some money in playing bass left-handed and looking like Paul McCartney. But Lou really has it in his soul. Mm-hmm. So he'd do like, maybe I'm amazed, and I'd be like, okay, I better go home and practice that one a little bit, So he kind of always
You guys raised the bar for each other.
Yeah, exactly. I think so. I mean, at least – and we always kept talking about we should do a project together, we should do something together. So this was a nice opportunity. And Chris Curtis is another one of those guys that knows all the parts,
He's a pretty phenomenal musician. He doesn't get his chops shown in the History's End shows.
No.
I would see him with that band, he did a great job. Yeah, when he plays with you guys – it's a whole different level.
He's the hidden gem.
And the other guy is Marty Paxson, because Marty is a guy that plays with Chris and Lou, and Marty's kind of shy. He's not real, you know, like in your face, but Marty's the first guy to stop practice and say, no, it's not that chord, it's this chord. And you're like, oh, really? I got to somehow figure that out. You know, because he knows that stuff. It's in his, you know, so I think that that shows at a certain level of that. And Chris Sulzer's, again, you know, an amazing, he's also really good at that third part of the harmony that you can't always find.
The George part.
And you know, Chris Karp, who's reading charts to play this music. I mean, Chris Karp's
an AC/DC fan.
Yeah, but Chris Karp's easily one of the greatest drummers I've ever known, and he's pulling out the book. You know, he's not taking anything. He's got sheets of paper. I mean, he's studying it. So
reading the music while he's playing.
Yeah, that's what I think is everyone kind of, you know, as soon as, like I said, as soon as one ups the game, everyone else does.
I think that's interesting. The point you just brought up is – Chris Karp is very much can do the progressive rock thing very well. Mm-hmm. Ringo, on the other hand, is everyone dismisses him as being, oh, he just plays a backbeat. But obviously, Ringo is a lot more difficult to cover than people give him credit for. If Chris is breaking the book
to do it right, yeah, to do it right. It's not technically difficult, but it's like these are the parts and they've got to be there. Mm-hmm. If you listen to the drum track of Ticket to Ride, you could hear the drum track and know what the song is. You listen to the drum track of, you know, oh, I don't know, a lot of other songs. You can say, well, that could be Hurt So Good. It could be, you know, Living After Midnight or whatever. You know, right. There's all kinds of drum beats.
He's very tasteful in what he does.
Yeah, and real deliberate and never repeated himself in a lot of times.
A song like Tomorrow Never Knows with that, just it's mm-hmm. actually, that's not a very easy, it's not the hardest drum beat, but it's pretty complicated and mm-hmm. it just grooves so well with what they're doing. And I think with his drumming, that's what he's going for, is really not trying to be the star and like playing all this stuff like maybe like a Keith Moon. But he wants to really fit in there and make his part go together with what everyone else is doing. Yeah, exactly.
And it becomes, and that's the thing is a lot of people don't give Ringo credit for that. But again, I say, you know, now with the glory of YouTube, mm-hmm. pull up a Ringo drum track and just listen to what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's not phoning it in. You know, he's not playing really conventional.
Right,
you know? And he's not doing the same thing twice. Although mm-hmm. Ticket to Ride and Tomorrow Never Knows are very similar drum beats.
Yeah,
But you could hear each one, and there's different aspects of it.
Now, doesn't he set his drums up backwards or something, too? Isn't there something unique about the way he sets up?
I think he plays right-handed, but I think he's actually left-handed. I think that's what it is.
Because
mm-hmm. it always looked like he had it set up differently than the average, you know, drummer.
I think it's the normal style. He might be a left-handed drummer who plays righty. That's very common.
I think that
lot of drummers do that sometimes because right-handed. It's just
so. As a drummer, mm-hmm. you know, Dan, you play a lot of jazz and the progressive stuff as well. You look at someone like Ringo. I mean, you clearly have respect for him.
He's one of my favorite drummers by far.
I would never have thought
that. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, I love the Beatles. They're one of the first bands that I was really into as a kid. But I just have a lot of respect for his playing. And I think some of my favorite drummers and musicians are people that know how to just not necessarily like play very technically, but just mm-hmm. fit in and groove and create like a nice atmosphere in the background for other people to really excel and make a band sound good.
Speaking of playing, let's use those guitars one more time. We've got about 12 minutes left of the show. Again, Beatles in the Barn, Saturday, April 9th, and that's at the County Line Orchard, 200 South County Line Road in Hobart, Indiana. It's all Beatles all night. The hits, the deep cuts, and some solo stuff, too. What do you guys want to do?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of that. What's a McCartney song or a Lennon song or a both song?
Jet.
Yes. We'll do a little, Band on the Run?
Sure.
How about that? That works for you?
All right.
Thank you. stuck inside these four walls, sent inside forever, never seeing no one nice again like you. Mama, you, Mama, you. Ooh, if I ever get out of here, thought of giving it all away to a registered charity. All I need is a pint today. If I ever get out of here, if we ever get out of here. To the sun, and the first one said to the second one there, I hope you're having fun. Band on the run, band on the run. The jailer man and Sailor Sam were searching every wall for the band on the run. Band on the run, the band on the run, the band on the run. Well, the undertaker drew a heavy sigh, seeing no one else had come. And the bells were ringing in the Philly Square, though the rabbits on the run. Band on the run. Jailer man and Sailor Sam were searching every wall for the band on the run, band on the run, band on the run, band on the run. Well, the night was falling as the desert world began to settle down. In the town, they're searching for you everywhere, but we never will be found. Oh, no. Band on the run. Band on the run. And the jump teachers who held the grudge will search forevermore for the band on the run, for the band on the run, band on the run, band on the run.
It's just about time for the band to run. We got about 5 minutes left here, and Beatles in a Barn again, happening this Saturday, April 9th, 6 to 10:30. Maybe a little bit longer. I think we say 10:30, but it never ends at 10:30.
No. It's only getting good at about 10:30.
It's a family affair, so please bring the kids out because they will enjoy it. And it seems like every year we get more and more young people out there.
Yeah,
as the word spreads.
Bring extra money for the cinnamon donuts.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. We had those cinnamon donuts for Pet Rock last year, and I'll tell you, or last week rather, and we had a lot of people buying them because it's not even seasoned yet.
I'm bringing my wheelbarrow this time.
That's right. They're very famous at the County Line Orchard for the apple cinnamon donuts. So, interesting stuff. The Beatles in the barn. The Beatles themselves. Why do we feel the Beatles are still the top of the pops, if you will? I mean, there's so many bands that have come and gone and come and gone, yet the Beatles still are at the very top. Everyone talks about
them. Yeah, critically, I call them the gold standard. But I think the thing is the Beatles existed in a time that even at their most cynical, it was always still optimistic. You know, there's no Beatles song that you ever hear that doesn't make you feel good about life. You know, it's always been about the high road almost, you know. I don't know if the Beatles would have existed in the 70s if it would have been that way. But, you know, I do think that it's kind of like it appeals to the best in humanity in so many ways.
I mean, there are very few artists that have endured. Elvis Presley and the Beatles are pretty much it.
Yeah.
And each one's from a different decade.
Right.
And as you mentioned, Elvis fans, they like the 50s and the 60s, and then there's the 70s jumpsuit era.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you know, the Beatles had their different periods as well. Mm-hmm. The early Beatles, which was even the leather-wearing Beatles,
right,
the Cavern Beatles. The mid-period is probably one of my favorites, the Rubber Soul, you know, the transitional period. Is there a period that you are especially fond of?
The minute I think I've got that settled down, it's kind of like Lennon or McCartney, you know, it depends.
Which one?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, when I was a little kid, it was McCartney, 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 McCartney. And then when I became a cynical teenager, it was Lennon, Lennon, Lennon. Now, I you know, it's like choosing between your children. Ask me which day, and I'll tell you which one my favorite is. But and the same with the period of the Beatles. The minute, you know, I probably, if I had to pick something, I would take, you know, they said you could take three Beatle albums. I'd take Help, Rubber Soul, Revolver.
That's three.
Yeah. I only get three and I'm done. You know, yeah. So,
yeah, sorry. You can't take the anthologies. It's, they don't count.
That's why they don't count.
Yeah.
So, Mike,
yeah.
What about you? I mean, is there a certain period of Beatles you like best?
Probably the later era, not
the trippy stuff.
It's just the same as Chad said. It's kind of a tricky question because I like most of it. But as far as I like the more psychedelic-y, more where there was more happening, the less poppy.
Is that you as a musician or you as a fan saying that?
Probably me as a musician.
Okay.
I want to just really quickly, I took a pilgrimage last year.
So you can say
May.
I took a pill.
Yeah, no, I took a pilgrimage to the Dakota last year in May and got to sit in Central Park and sit at the Mosaic and play. I did Watching the Wheels, you know, just people. And to think of just the amount of people that just walk through there and think about John Lennon and to stand at the Dakota where he stood was quite an emotional, amazing experience. But it really kind of makes you realize how much bigger this – I mean, still that legacy of the Beatles and John Lennon, you know, still is huge. I mean, just they've even, you know, found a way to touristy make money off of it.
Of course.
But it is –
it's the American way.
Yeah, but it is astounding that just people in tears, you know, still to this day. Amazing.
People
that weren't even born.
Are still affected. Beatles in the Barn, Saturday, April 9th. Is there anything we haven't covered you think we should?
No, I think we got it all.
All right. Then let's leave with, the way we brought it in, their first appearance here in North America, in America. February 7th, 1964, they flew into JFK, and I was just reading here online that tickets were so crazy to get, Walter Cronkite and Richard Nixon called and tried to get their daughter's tickets and were refused. So there you go. If you got to see it in the studio, you consider yourself very lucky. February 9th, 64, 73 million people, me among them, saw the Beatles, and just like the Ramones have Gabba Gabba Hey, the Beatles have Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. So let's go back with that one and leave you, because she loves you. We'll see you at Beatlefest. Beatles in the Barn.
She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you, yeah, 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 yeah. You think you've lost your love? Well, I saw her yesterday. It's you she's thinking of. She told me what to say, yeah. She said she loves you, and you know that can't be bad.
You know you should be glad.